the show.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's Boundless Show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, and two kind of different-ish folks in the studio with me today.
Who are you calling different? And
let's just not even define that. Ted is here with... Ted, I think your hair was styled today. I appreciate that.
Yes, thank you. A little bit of earwax just sort of scrambled around in there.
For bringing it in. It's kind of...
keeps it out of my face.
Yeah, and for those who can't see it, it's kind of wild and standing up high on his head.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's standing up high. It's almost like a... kind of like a current, more of a messy version of a pompadour or something. But I like it. It works. It totally works because it's not like slicked back or anything.
Yeah, I noticed you're wearing a new ring today.
I am.
It's not skullish. It's not black. It's very floral and...
It is, although it's actually kind of dangerous. I've actually kind of cut myself on it a couple times, so I have to be careful with it. And it complements, as I was telling you earlier.
It's like a lotus flower.
It is, yeah. That is my ring, and then I've got like a, yeah, I was just talking to Sarah about this, kind of a Doris Day-ish dress on, and then I bought these basically leopard print stilettos that I'm wearing today that really I can walk about 10 feet in before needing to just take a break. So I'm guaranteed to snap a femur.
I only get 2 feet. Yeah, I get 2 or 3 yeah, feet. And
you have to just take yours off at your desk.
Them right off.
I'm guaranteed to snap a femur at some point today, and then I'll just head over to the walk-in, and we'll just be done with these. But I decided to just mix it up because it's a good day.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thanks both of you for being here. Thank you, Sarah, as well. Those of you who know, Sarah has actually been featured on a podcast. She's our new and fun intern here at Boundless. So that's some good times. So anyway, we're going to be talking about, let's just run down what the show is today. Later in the inbox, we have Mott helping a guy basically who's been asked to DTR on behalf of a female friend of his with a relationship that is just kind of stalling. So bless his heart. We're going to try to help this guy get some clarity on what he should do. Our culture segment, you should already know about because I talked about it in my recent blog post on the blog, and that is featuring Keith and Chantel Hobbs. We've had Chantel on before, but I brought her husband in this time, and she has a new book about fitness and whatever. We all know that she does that, but they actually get into a lot of like relationship stuff that seriously, we just dug into it and it blazed me away, and it's fascinating about the two of them redefining their relationship really after massive life change. I mean, you lose 200 pounds and you... basically have some different things going on in your life. Mm. And what did that look like for him and really risks in their relationship and stuff. So that's very cool. And then our round table today, we're going to actually talk about bromances.
Because extreme bromances.
Extreme bromances, which apparently Sarah is just witness to. So that's going to be fascinating. I do want to say, because we are now, like I said last week, doing sponsorships for the podcast, that today's show is sponsored by True You. That is the apologetic series for students who are about to have their Christian worldview challenged in college. Watch out, people. Learn more about that at trueyou.org. That is T-R-U-E, the letter U, .org. Also, I want to make sure that I give a little quick shout out. You know that we gave some props to Rachel Dethridge a while ago because, first of all, she gave us a Starbucks card and she gave us a cake. Okay, people, I'm just saying. But she got back to us and said, it's not only me. We have to thank someone else, too. She also has a friend, Shelly Mason. Hey, Shelly. Hey, Shelly, I think we're Facebook friends. That's exciting. Who really, I think this was her idea. And Shelly actually introduced Rachel to the show and got her hooked on it. So we love you both, Shelly and Rachel. So thank you for the card and for the cake, because that is fantastic. The other housekeeping detail that I need to run through really quick on the top end of the show is our Boundless survey. If you haven't been to the homepage or to the blog, you can, you know, check it out. Go there and find it and take it. It has a bunch of questions just about your experience with Boundless. And we have to make a specific shout out to the podcast fans, because apparently, we have a bunch of people writing in or polling right now that they're not at all familiar with the podcast, which I think is scandalous and wrong, and it's ridiculous. So those are obviously just the webzine people. Those are people that just only know Ted. So whatever.
And many people think that's sufficient.
This is true. For those of you who just want to talk to Ted, that's okay. But for those of you who may want to get to know the rest of us, whatever. Anyway, and we're just saying, go and take the survey. Let us know what you think about Boundless, what your familiarity is with us. And, you know, if you do know the podcast, make sure that you say that, because that would be great. So anyway, that is at boundless.org or at boundlessline.org. So All right, you two, bromances. We actually had blogged about this as well, that really just kind of put this whole craziness on the table as far as what these bromances are. Sarah, this is your life, so why don't you start out by talking about what in the world just, as I would say, blazed you away about the situations among your guy friends.
Okay, I go to a great church which has a great young adult ministry, and I have a circle of friends there, and some of the guys in the group, they love God, they worship Him passionately, they want revival, they're serious about following God. But yet I have observed with them many times where with each other they will interact in a way that comes across as if they're gay. They're like, will caress each other's faces, one even sat on the other's lap, they'll dance together, they'll pretend to ask each other out on dates. And frankly, the interaction comes across as disturbing. And I've even said this to them because I figure, you know what, it's okay if I just point this out and say, you know, that comes across gay when you act that way. And some of the guys said, no, it's not gay. And then one of the other guys, he actually openly admitted that he, you know, he's a very masculine guy, does not seem gay at all, but he'll act gay. And he said he basically said he enjoys acting gay with some of his friends. Like, he'll even be out on the street in public and hold hands with one of his guy friends. And I told him, I said, you know, this is not a funny subject, and I don't understand why they want to even give that appearance, because with the way things are in the world today, I don't even understand why they, when they love God and they're serving Him, why they would even want to give people question as to whether they could be gay or not. I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, I'm just recovering from the fact that you said the word caress, and so Ted, if you could please just start by weighing in here, because you're the lone guy in the studio.
Sure. I was very unfamiliar with this phenomenon, so I wrote the blog post opening up to our readers, hey, tell me what your experience is, what have you seen, mm-hmm. and we received
let's say too that Sarah is your sister-in-law, so you have to mm-hmm. kind of know what's up and what's happening with these guys.
Sure.
Okay.
So we received 150 comments on the one blog post, and I still don't really understand what's going on. It could be the result of maybe gender confusion or identity confusion. It could be these guys want to experience true masculine friendship and intimacy in a good way, but they haven't really seen it modeled, so they might go a little extreme. So I honestly don't know what's going on when they're cuddling, when mm-hmm. they're... It's
Do
not just that
they're
saying...
Do you think they're just starved for affection in general?
I mean, certainly, aren't we all?
Okay.
What? Oh, wait.
Oh, do we have a box of tissues here? Oh, here it is. Okay. Why would any guy who is masculine want to basically insinuate that he's not? And to, I mean, especially in public. That's what I can understand, hanging out at someone's house and just being crazy or being funny and stuff.
See, but it could be, honestly, it could be anything. Maybe I'm not being very helpful, but it could just be, like nowadays, a popular kind of humor is absurdity. If you say something absurd or do something absurd, people laugh, and laughter builds community and makes you feel good. And so maybe part of it's just acting absurd, mm-hmm. you know, okay. extreme. I don't know.
And this is something that has been happening on a regular basis. I've known these guys for over a year, and just it was, I think, last spring that I started noticing them acting like that, when I started to hang out with them more. Mm-hmm. And so I even went to the young adult pastor and just told him my concerns, because it just doesn't seem to line up with the whole let's follow God and be good examples to our community.
Yeah. Well, now what are the other women in the group think? I mean, have any of them raised any concerns?
Well, I think I'm the most outspoken. You know, I'm not afraid to point it out to them.
Sarah? Uh-huh.
But, you know, I do know that someone else in the group who is a girl finds it disturbing. I think there's a guy, I'm not the only one who thinks, okay, that's a little over the top. Because, mm-hmm. you know, if someone makes a joke every once in a while, that's kind of funny. Mm-hmm. But when they consistently act that way towards each other, you start to get concerned.
Now, isn't it a problem that if these guys are expressing this awkward affection with each other, and maybe their attention is toward other guys, and so they don't so much build relationship with women in the group? Is that?
Yeah. Or any of them actually dating women?
Well,
or?
Actually, the four guys that I'm talking about, who hopefully aren't listening to the podcast, they are not dating anybody. Okay. And they It's almost insulting because these are like single, young, healthy guys who seem almost more interested in their friendship with one another. Like the girls can be there, but they want to be all over each other. They want to be touching mm-hmm. each other. And so I don't know if they just have it set in their minds they're not going to date for a while or they're not going to look for a relationship and they're trying to be spiritual. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what their thinking is. If they're like, we'll just focus more on our friendship with each other. I really don't know why.
Now, I need to acknowledge that here in the States, we tend to be a little... expressively guys tend not to express themselves well with each other affectionately. I spent some time in South America, in Colombia, and within a couple of days of getting to know some of the guys, we were walking down the street arm in arm, and it was totally normal and it was totally warm. I don't think that's exactly what's going on here, but
well, I think it's interesting. I mean, because I know guys, too, that are more affectionate and who kind of do the, you know, the brotherly kind of hugs and the uh-huh. hey man kind of stuff and the greeting and whatever. And sometimes we'll do like, you know, pile-ons or whatever. And it's just
football players.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. But it's not. Yeah, it's not this, especially when they're in the company of women, just kind mm-hmm. of exclusively just mm-hmm. sharing affection
well,
with one another.
It is a little insulting, you know, when you're a young single lady hanging out with a group of guys and they're joking that they're going to take each other out on dates. Mm-hmm. You know, that can be a little it can hurt your ego a little bit as a lady. Mm-hmm. But I'm just genuinely concerned. Mm-hmm. And I know I've already expressed.
Well,
that.
And it sounds like they're almost being passive about it. Like they're kind of throwing out the whole, you know, in front of the ladies like, well, you know, guys, let's just go on dates or something, kind of to see the reaction of the women, to see if they'll, you know, say, hey, you know, why don't you ask us out or whatever, which mm-hmm. I would just be like, I'm not going to say anything.
And I don't think any of these guys are gay. So I just, you know, mm-hmm. don't think it lines up with what they say in church and in prayer groups to yeah. act this way.
And they're like, what are their ages?
They are from 25 to 21.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So kind of like early 20s kind of dudes.
Dudes.
I don't know. So what, I mean, do you feel just comfortable still being in the group or what do you think? Because my whole thought is, I mean, this is kind of, you know, I mean, I have people just tell me, you know, if I ever bring some crazy story up, they're like, you just need a new group of friends or whatever.
Well,
I mean,
it's funny
what do you feel like in the midst of that?
I like this group of friends, but at the same time, someone just said to me earlier, maybe you need to find a new group of friends. Mm. It's just, it's hard for me to take their prayers seriously when they don't care about, you know, giving off this image that maybe they're gay, which, you know, grieves the heart of God. And when men are homosexual, it does rob men of being husbands and fathers. So it's not really something that Christians should joke about.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and to that extent, I mean, it's actually it's basically making light of sin and of something very real that many people do actually struggle with. So
it's
not helping
issue.
Them get married any, obviously.
I do need to jump in here. I think that this behavior can actually be hurtful to those who are truly suffering from same-sex attraction. Mocking in this way is not expressing love to those who are suffering from a real, you know, a real difficulty, same-sex attraction.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and I think, you know, finally, as Sarah was alluding to, it really is not honoring to the women in their acquaintance mm-hmm. either, because it's just, it's really not, you know, treating them as sisters, and it's not really interacting with them in a healthy way. I mean, if the guys are just off like doing their own thing and being weird and just, you know, that's going to make the women feel uncomfortable. And I just think that's not a very good way to exhibit leadership in those relationships, you know, even though they're not specifically dating them. So
it does kind of send that message that the guys are almost saying to the women, we don't need you. Mm-hmm. To have a guy is better than having a woman. And it kind of insinuates that slightly with their behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what, I didn't ask you what the response was of your young adults pastor when you told him then.
I am not sure what he's going to do. Okay. He seemed to take me seriously and let me tell him my concerns. And if he talked to them, I don't know. But I told him, I said, the reason I'm coming to you is because you're the young adult pastor. I've already mentioned it to them and they don't seem to care. Mm. But I find it concerning. You know, I was basically wanting to see if he would talk to them and address this issue.
Hmm. I think that's good. So, so I think that's a good, you know, a good lesson, not only to, you know, to the guys to watch your behavior and what you're making light of and how you're interacting, especially with a co-ed group, but, you know, to women and to others as well, just to say, when you see something like that, there's value in speaking up and there's value in kind of putting it out there. I mean, I know that I'm known for that. However, everyone is responsible for that when they see something that's concerning.
And as I've made clear several times, I don't really understand what's going on. So I would invite you to, if you've seen this kind of behavior, if you have any ideas about it, please send an email to us at editor@boundless.org or go to our blog, boundlessline.org, and Google bromance, and you'll find the blog post. Mm-hmm. And tell us your thoughts. Tell us what you've seen, what needs are being met through this, and if you see it as problematic.
Hmm. Yeah. All right. I don't even get it. That's just weird. My goodness. So, yeah, do let us know if you know what's up, because that is just, you know, I have a lot of guy friends, but I don't, that stymies me. So, All right. Well, thanks, you two, for joining us.
All right.
You're welcome.
Okay, everyone, we're here for another culture segment, and I'm in Studio A at Mount Dobson with Chantel Hobbs again. Welcome. I know, I just call it Mount Dobson.
Mount Dobson.
Yeah. So those of you should know, because we actually got a lot of fun response to your show, to your interview the last time you were on here last year, Chantel. So, but I'm just going to be honest. I wanted to mix it up this week, and I'm bringing Keith in here, too. Keith is her husband.
Hey, I'm just going to be real.
Hello, how are you?
I got excited when you told me you were bringing Keith in, didn't I?
You did.
I did.
You got excited. So anyway, but I want to talk, because last time we talked about, and this is part of the reason why I was like, Keith, get on in here. Because last time we talked a lot about your own story, Chantel, and just kind of really how you went from, you know, marriage and kids and starting to have kids, but really growing up and having a weight problem. And basically, you lost 200 pounds, basically. Hello. So that is just, I mean, that's a story in and of itself. And we talked about that. And then we talked about really what you had to do, both in your own mind and in your heart, to recognize this is something that, you know, is going to become a lifetime, a choice for me. It's not just a program, or it's not just whatever. And we got into, you know, a little bit of tips and tactics here. But what I want to really break down in our discussion here is I want to talk about the emotions behind body image, behind losing weight, behind being in relationships in light of who you are and how you get your value and stuff like that. Because I just told Keith this coming in from the hall. I said, you know, I know a lot of single women, and we, you know, our audience, we have a lot of singles who will just flat out say, you know what, I'm just not married because I'm fat. Right. I'm not married because people think I'm fat. I'm not married because I'm ugly. I'm not. And there's just like a blanket statement that drives into everything of who they believe themselves to be at their core. And I just want to talk about you having been physically on both sides of the aisle. I just want to throw that out there, and let's just start a discussion on that.
Okay. Well, I can tell you that's good. I can tell you that, I did, an interview last year with someone, and during the interview, the person asked me, so how does, you were heavy when you got married. How does somebody love somebody, you know, who's got such a problem? I mean, you were grossly fat. I mean, this was what the person said in the interview. And I said, what? And I was so troubled, like, for the next couple of weeks about this, because I got to thinking about it. And I thought, that made it sound like I was lucky to be loved. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot to offer in my marriage and my relationship beyond just
what I looked or didn't look like physically. Mm-hmm. And my husband saw that at a very young age, which is unusual. And I do realize that because they don't, you know, the saying, don't judge a book by its cover, it wouldn't be a saying unless there were truth behind it. Mm-hmm. So we do, you know, understand that we live in a very aesthetic world and things look good to our eyes and our eyes were made by God and things don't look good and things look natural and not natural. And it goes beyond just the media and the images. There's a lot of things that we know just don't look healthy. But my thing is, if you want to feel better about the way that you look, there has to get to this place where you're not trying to look a certain way for anyone else. When I let go of the fact that, you know, this wasn't about whether my husband would find me more attractive or whether I would get a boyfriend one day or, you know, whatever the case may be, that's when I felt like I was able to really make changes. Hmm. It wasn't coming from a place of, you know, being pathetic. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, losing weight takes time. It's a lifetime thing to stay fit and healthy. So if you were always, you know, trying to stay fit and healthy based on how you felt about yourself from a self-esteem perspective, you'll never be good enough. Never. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then that will spill over into your relationships. And so now you're actually acting from a place of, I am so lucky that you love me. And that's not healthy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just not a healthy way to feel. Mm-hmm. What do you think, babe?
Chantel has always been a very confident person. Mm-hmm. She sang at church. She just exuded charisma. Okay, so that was a big help in her personality. There are people out there that are heavy that don't have that personality. They have a very downtrodden kind of woe is me type of attitude of life. And so I think that somebody who is overweight can still be attractive to a man and vice versa. But it's their attitude that comes through, more so than necessarily their physiological appearance, their appearance to their boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think attitude has a lot.
So beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. Is that
well, beauty saying? is in the eyes of the beholder. I mean, you know, we know friends of ours that are big guys who love little tiny women, and you know, that's never been my thing. Mm-hmm. and when I say little tiny, maybe I should. That's
good. Like, where are we going with all this?
That's great.
No, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, you know, I've always liked real women, mm-hmm. looking women. I'm not never been somebody that wanted, you know, some. What is your problem? So what is your problem?
Okay, so when you...
Every cliche you've ever heard is coming in my brain right now. Like,
that's okay, because we always say the same cliches. It's
I know.
True. So what, Keith, then made you say, you know, Chantel is someone that I want to pursue? Because you probably, if you would have gotten together a group of 20 guys, you would have had a certain number of them that said, oh, no, she's too heavy for me.
Most,
I wouldn't even consider it.
Most. Listen... Chantel and I
right
have
now,
a lot
every
of,
woman thinks you're a saint, and so well, we need to break this down.
I'm not a saint.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Let me say this point blank. I am not a saint.
Okay. He's not a saint.
Wait. Not
Ladies,
even close.
Ladies, he's not a saint.
Not even close. But listen, Chantel and I had a lot of history together. Chantel's grandfather was
an arranged marriage is what he's trying to say.
Nice.
Chantel's grandfather was an elder at my dad's church. Her grandmother used to babysit me. We had a lot of history together in our family. However, I never knew her until I was 15 years old. And we kind of grew up in youth group together. And, you know, Chantel has a very attractive personality. And someone who has an attractive personality can overcome a lot of obstacles in their way. And, you know, we just grew up together is kind of a sense. I mean, it's not normal, especially in today's culture. We've been married almost 17 years. It's not normal in today's culture that you would have people that are 16 or 17 years old, you know, marrying at 20, 21, you know, most people wait a little longer today. There's pros and cons that maybe we can get into it another time. But we kind of grew up together and developed history and we're very fond of each other. And you know, it's just the biggest thing I can say to about why I was attracted to her is because of her personality. Mm-hmm. She had just an extremely charismatic personality.
Hmm. Okay.
And the eyes, remember?
Well, she has beautiful, gorgeous green eyes.
No, but that's not even where, I mean, I'm just saying that because I think that, you know, you can find things attractive about people that maybe, you know, you might say, oh, well, they need to lose a few pounds, but man, they have beautiful eyes. Or, you know, I just love the way she sings, or I love the way she laughs, or, mm-hmm. you know, because like we were talking about a little earlier, I am not the same person today that I was 17 years ago mm-hmm. in so many ways. Mm-hmm. Keith did not marry me saying, well, I'm going to marry her, and I hope that one day she starts writing books about weight loss. I mean, certainly right. he wasn't thinking that when I was, you know, right. a 300-pound bride. Yeah. I mean, seriously, yeah. not in a million years.
Well, I had a friend who actually had a guy call her up, and they had gone out, they dated for a period of time and stuff, and he finally was like, look, he said, I have prayed about this, and I really feel I'm called to marry you, and I really would like to marry you. I just want to know, can you commit to at least trying to lose 20 pounds in the... And she's wow. just like,
are you kidding me?
No, wow. I'm not even
get
joking.
Get him on the phone right now.
I'm not joking. Yeah. My friend is telling me this, and she was, I mean, I couldn't even...
That must have devastated her.
I couldn't even believe it. Yeah. I mean, and so he was basically...
But they weren't engaged yet, or they were?
No, they weren't. So huh. they had dated, and then he had gone, and he dated a couple other girls, and then mm-hmm. came back to her and said, you know, aww. I really feel it's us, but I really, you know...
How nice
this
of
is,
him.
Yeah. That was really kind of him. Did she give him anything that she'd love for him to change as well?
She didn't, no. She didn't, and, yeah,
I
I'm
hope
not
that
sure
she gave him the bye-bye. Thanks for
did.
Coming.
Yeah.
Thanks for playing
said,
our game.
I think that's pretty much my answer as far as...
What if they're married? So. You're not going to tell me. And they've been married 20 years, and they have 7 kids, and they're missionaries.
And he's our pastor. Yeah. No.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, that's not the case. Okay. So let's talk about this for a second, because I know that so many people here, you know, this is like one of the mantras of the weight loss crowd, and it is, you have to do it for you. Right. Okay. I know people that don't even understand what that means, because they cannot even remember what thin or fit or even healthy feels like or looks like. And so they constantly say, I know it needs to be a priority, but apparently it's not enough of a priority, because they never, you know, I just feel like they're always, you know, many of us do this. We just try to muster up enough, you know, gumption to just go for it. And I think that really speaks into what you're talking about in your latest book. And I want you to just address that, Chantal.
Well, the whole concept of the one day way, it really came about from me counseling with somebody who was a mess. And when I say a mess, I mean, it wasn't just one vice. It was everything. She had a serious drug problem, a serious weight problem. She had, you know, was near homeless. I mean, she had a lot of things in her life that were just, you know, if you were anybody on the outside trying to talk to this person, you might want to say, I don't know how you are going to make it through today. Mm-hmm. And so after meeting with her, she had been going through trying to be clean off drugs for a long time. She'd done really well. She'd gotten up to like 140 days and she was celebrating it. And she came to spend some time with me from California to South Florida. And she said, I have to confess to you, I fell off the wagon, the proverbial wagon, mm-hmm. and I've been back on drugs for the past week, and I've been eating out of control, and I've gained 8 pounds, and I've, you know, just everything has gone awry for me on this journey that I was doing so well on. And I said, well, she goes, am I going to stay this way? Am I destined to stay this way? And myself, who had invested a lot of time in this person, wanted to say, what the heck is wrong with you? You have lost your, you know, how could you do this to me? You know, like, that's how I felt. Mm-hmm. I'm the one that tries to help everybody and you've failed me. And when she said that, I said, oh Lord, give me something to say. And I said, you know what? We're all meant to stay this way. And she goes, what are you talking about? We're meant to stay this way. I go, we're all meant to believe that we're a day away. Mm-hmm. We're all meant to believe that we're one day away from falling off the wagon without God, without the strength that comes from living through him, in him, with him every single day. And I said to her, you know what you need to do? And I know people that are part of programs that involve counting and, you know, days and having that momentum. And I, you know, I'm not trying to say that that's a bad thing, but I know for this woman that when I told her it's time to stop counting days forever, there was a freedom in her eyes. She, because I said, you know what's going to happen? I said, if you get back on the wagon and 140 days from now, you're doing great, you're going to wonder if you can go 2 more. And then you're going to get to 170. I go, and then what happens if you slip up? Now you feel like even more of a failure than you did today because you got to 170 days. I said, let's let go of the whole day thing and let's start to measure your success in the time frame that God's given you, which is what? From sunrise to sunset. I mean, God has given you a day. We are not promised tomorrow. God says, pick up your cross every day and follow me, not just on the way to church, not just, you know, when you see the little old lady who needs help across the street, then you could become a Christian. You know, if it's something that we have to make a choice to do every day, why wouldn't we have to choose to eat healthy every day? Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't we have to choose to exercise more today? Why wouldn't we have to choose, you know, all of those things on a daily basis? So that's where the whole concept of one day away came. Get over yesterday and don't worry about tomorrow. Simple. And I know that some people could, you know, not completely understand because of the simplicity of it. But really, I think that things are more simpler than we make them a lot of times, because we want to count. We want technology. We want, you know, mm-hmm. all of that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's fascinating. I want to get back to what you were saying about even your story of meeting and how this plays into it, the whole You know, is there, could I possibly look past her weight and whatever? Yeah. We start just putting people in categories of, you know, even like you're saying with One Day Way, like, well, you know, you're predisposed to be a failure. You're probably not going to make it. You're going to do a little better.
It's,
you know,
natural.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's so, you know, amazing to me to think how we can, you know, how the devil can speak to us in a way that is so pervasive. I mean, it can just invade our thoughts. And we just, you know, with all the talking that we do about, you know, God speaking into our lives and all the stuff, again, that we're just trying to do, whatever, you know, the devil is not, his schemes aren't really that creative, but they're so, they just come after us over and over again. And
well, they're clever.
And it's important that we recognize that and call it for what it is, though. You know, like, I believe that, you know, things that are happening in the media now are, you know, they're meant to divert our attention. Mm-hmm. And because if we get off course from what we're supposed to be doing to pay attention to this tabloid rumor or, you know, Tiger Woods or whatever the case may be, then once again, you know, the Christians, you know, go out and make comments that they shouldn't, or, you know, whatever the case may be. And then the enemy wins once again, because now it's like these people are against these people. And then the love of God doesn't really prevail. Mm-hmm. And that's really what it's all about. It's all about the love of God. And the love of God, there is no condemnation. We don't get to judge people. We don't earn that right ever. There's never a day that we're good enough to get to do that.
Right.
But as far as the whole love thing goes, I mean, I think that, you know, you may have some people that are listening to this that are contemplating that they think that they're supposed to be with somebody, but maybe there's that, what is somebody else going to think? You know, like Keith was able to move past, what are my guy friends going to think if I start dating her? Because he felt that connection with me. But there are people that may feel the connection, but they aren't sure that they can get past what other people think. And I want to say, don't miss it. Don't miss out, because what we have, and then getting to talk about it right now, is so cool. And it's so God and so awesome. And being here all these years later and having this story of weight loss and all of that, people might miss out on some really amazing experiences and moments because they're afraid to not go for it because of what someone else thinks, because the person that they're looking at isn't who they think that, you know, they should be with, or that everybody else thinks they should be with.
I think that in our culture and our society today, we always try to look at everything as being perfect. How can we make this perfect? How can this relationship be perfect? How can I be perfect? How can I look better? How can I do this? How can I do that? I think one of the things that I will tell you through this 17 years and the last 10 years of a journey, it's been a journey. There has been some pain. There has been some mountaintops. There's been valleys. But there's been a lot of growth. And when everything's easy in life, whatever it is, when everything's easy, there's not really going to be any growth from it.
Right.
I think that if you're a man looking to date a woman, or a woman looking to date a man, or maybe contemplating marriage, and you're worrying about, well, you know, do I look good enough for this person, or all those things you feel about yourself, I'm not saying those aren't adequate things that you should think, because I believe, and I think one of the things that Chantel's message is very strong about, is that we need to be our best in order to effectively pursue ministry. Okay, so whatever your ministry is, your ministry could be you're a stockbroker and you need to talk to the guy next to you at work every day. Okay, it doesn't mean that you actually are physically in ministry at Focus on the Family, for instance. We need to be our best. That doesn't mean that you all have to fit into a shape, a Barbie shape and a Ken shape. We're not. God made us all different. But we need to be healthy. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So I think that there needs to be a look, if you love somebody, if you're attracted to somebody and they're overweight, so what? Okay? But at the same time, there shouldn't be the idea that I can't move forward because of this issue. I think that would be cool is that you get married and there's a journey that happens together and you grow, and strong marriages come from two people being able to go on a journey together and grow together and learn more about each other through the struggles and the high points and low points.
Yeah.
What he's saying is we've had some good fights.
Yeah, which is good.
No, absolutely.
And the fact that you can have fights and work through conflict is huge and come out the other side.
And we're as real as it gets. I mean, people that know us really, really well can tell you that we really have been to the depths. I mean, there is, by the grace of God, that we are still married, because it has, with my physical transformation and with, you know, all that's, you know, happened emotionally and all of that. I mean, it is absolutely the grace and the mercy of God that we have been able to stay married and to be sitting here today. We see it happen all the time in the media. People's lives change in a radical way, and they're not able to adjust and stay on, you know, on the course together because, you know, they're so different. Mm-hmm. And so because change is inevitable, it is going to happen. Time keeps on ticking, whether we like it or not. Mm-hmm. We've got to kind of, you know, make some commitments and keep them as commitments. And whether it hurts or not, you know, be willing to plow through and trust God.
Well, and I think there's a paralysis among Christian singles, not even so much, you know, non-Christian singles, because for them, they can bail, you know, if stuff gets tough. But for Christian singles, they may say, you know, what am I signing up for? And they do. We so try to control our environment and control our circumstances and try to have this slate of everything being lined up. And then maybe we can sign up for marriage. But, you know, it's kind of, first of all, we always tell our listeners, you know, especially the women, we say, women, when you're, you know, 27, 28 years old and you're marrying a guy, you're not going to marry John Piper. You're not going to marry Al Mohler. You're not going to marry Bill. You're marrying, you know, those guys have 30 years of growth and spiritual maturity under their belts that they have probably with probably with their wives, you know, certainly helping them along that continuum. And we have to say the same thing with, you know, with couples in general or with guys, you know, just saying, you're not, we don't even know. You could marry someone and the next day someone could be in a car accident, or you could lose everything you have financially. And it is what you guys said. It's the journey that you're on, and committing to that together and recognizing that God has things for each of our individual lives that we don't even know about. You know, we don't know what that looks like.
I will tell you without a doubt that the toughest part of our marriage has been the last 10 years since this happened. Mm-hmm. And I say toughest, and what I mean by that is we were married relatively young. We were 21, essentially. And it was so the first, what, about 7-8 years of our marriage. I'm not saying it was easy. You know, we were young. We hadn't had careers.
And broke.
Finances were tough. We were having kids, that kind of thing. But when she came to me and said, you know, hey, I had this moment and I want to lose weight and God's going to help me. And I, you know.
And I'm going to write books and I'm going to have a ministry. And he's like, oh, really? You're 300 and some pounds. You're going to write books about weight loss? Really?
I just said, go do it.
You qualified to do that? Really?
He said, just go do it. Just go do it.
Just you know, do it.
We don't need
talk.
To talk about it. We don't need to be all, you know, hyping it up. Prove to me you're going to do it, you know? I mean, I've never really had a weight problem. I've always been an athletic person. So to me, it was, you know, that was her deal and this was my deal. And the amazing thing is that she did it, and she did it while still having a family, while still being a real person in terms of, you know, it wasn't like she wasn't making spaghetti and meatballs for me still, okay, and the kids and that kind of thing, and mac and cheese. And, you know, of course, there's been a lot of healthy stuff. But, you know, Christians want everything to be perfect. Christians want things to be worry-free. Christians want things to be, you know, we try to set ourselves up for this idea of perfection, and it's not. Mm-hmm. And there's fallibility in everybody. Everybody has issues. And from a spiritual level, when we get to that point where we are able to trust God implicitly, Lord, I can't control my wife. I can't control her food addiction, or I can't control my husband and his drinking, or whatever the issue is. But God, you are my everything. You are my all. You are my provider. You are my redeemer. I will put my trust in you, Lord. Then God changes our hearts. And when God changes our hearts, we're able to then make real lasting change in our life. And that's what's happened, you know, with Chantel specifically.
So how has that played out for you guys as a couple then? So when you went into marriage at 21, you probably had pictures in your heads of how you would live married life and what you would do and how you would serve the Lord and what that looks like. Well, all of a sudden, then Chantel is writing books and she's out. And now, you know, you probably suffer the curse of, you know, you're just the weight loss poster child or the weight loss, you know, and like, it's not like you it's like you can't contribute anything else to society because that's all that you're known for. Like Gianna's story, bless her heart. You know, she's just like the abortion poster child now. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, I'm actually a real person and I'm a single girl and I want to get married and I want, you know. So how have you basically reconciled what your original hopes and dreams were with going on this journey and finding out, wow, here's what God has for us right now?
Oh man, I could say, I mean, it's the one day way, baby. That's what I say to people all the time. I'm like, I had to get to a place. And so I think that Keith and I talk about this a lot. Like people will say to us, you know, where do you think you guys are going to live? You know, whatever. I'm like, I don't know. Like he does it too. Like we're at a place of just, we have watched God do so many just insanely crazy, crazy things. One of my sayings is, I feel ridiculously blessed. And people are like, what? Ridiculously? I go, no, I really feel ridiculously blessed. And I think that abandoning some of those hopes and dreams, and not necessarily because they weren't the right ones, but just saying what God's plans are for me have been so much bigger and better than what those were that I can't even wait to see what he has in store for me. I'm just going to do what I got to do today. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of an important issue for people, because when you have when you lay your hopes and dreams, you know, overshadow so much of your plans, I think that's where you end up sometimes living with regret, you know, and not being able to move on or to do those next big things that God has for you because you can't figure out why you didn't do the things that you thought you should have been doing. Mm-hmm. When God's like, those weren't the things. You missed out. You know, you were missing it, worried about it, and you didn't just let me be in charge. So it's just basically every day making that same decision one day at a time of I'm going to live better. No, that does not give me a license to eat the whole gallon of ice cream today, knowing that I get to decide tomorrow not to eat the ice cream, because that's a message that I definitely want people to hear. The one day way to lose weight is not do what you want today because you have the freedom to start again tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's more like a new standard of living that you have today and you might not have tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So do you want to go out eating a whole half gallon of ice cream saying, yeah, I didn't really care. I wasn't worried about tomorrow. Mm-hmm. No, I want to take care of myself, you know?
Well, that's like the Apostle Paul. All things are permissible, but not all things are profitable. Mm-hmm. And that means that you can, you know, that's like the whole debate in the Christian world, living under grace. Well, if you're living under grace, then can you do anything you want? And because you can say a forgiveness prayer and then, you know, you're forgiving? No, because then you're missing out on God's best. Mm-hmm. And one of the things with us is that, you know, Chantel and I, when we were first dating and married, were, and to a degree still are, polar opposites. Hmm. She is the charismatic queen. She is the mayor of town. She walks into any place. Somebody knows her. She can stop in the middle of anywhere and have a 45-minute conversation with somebody while the kids are in the car screaming. Okay? So, and I am the, you know, want to make sure everything's planned
out.
But
I like my quiet time, too, more than most people.
Well, you like it now, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely
That's because I've rubbed off on you.
Yeah, it's
all right. Let's not get defensive over there.
It's all you. Just I like a little controversy. But
one of the things that, you know, what I want to get back to is that she was this person who was very carefree, very live life by the seat of your pants, and I was the one that was always
map questing,
trying to plan out our future. And so as this road started crossing us, her going to this way and me wanting to go this way, there was a lot of friction. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I have had to realize is that my trust doesn't rely in Keith. My trust doesn't rely in what I want or what my plans might be for our life, what are God's plans for my life and our life. And going back to trusting God, because when you say, Lord, look, it's okay to have hopes and dreams. I'm not even remotely saying that it's not, but they have to be aligned with what God wants for us. They have to be aligned with what our position is in his kingdom. And you know, will God use us someday to go further than weight loss? Hopefully. Mm-hmm. Who knows what God has for in store.
Well, the beauty
us.
Of the relationship is him saying, okay, so I'm not as carefree as Chantel. And that's really annoying to me sometimes that she is able to just pick up and go and doesn't really worry about the future. And at the same time, sometimes I have to say, oh, that's right. We're going to want to pay bills next year, aren't we? Mm-hmm. I better not go out and buy that pair of shoes today. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of us. Do you know what I'm saying? It's such a partnership. I mean, marriage relationship here on earth is supposed to mimic what? Our relationship with God. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what marriage is supposed to be. So when I look at our marriage, I want to see Keith have the love for me that God has for me. I want to respect him and care for him like mm-hmm. I care for God. I want that. It's not perfect. We don't get it right every day. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm like, I don't even like you today, mm-hmm. let alone, you know, I want to love you and I do love you, but mm-hmm. but
it's only like once a year though.
Yeah, once a year.
Well, and I want to ask you, Keith, how you then live out spiritual leadership in your home when you have to, when you see the public persona of Chantel and she's the mayor of the town, but she's also a wife and a mother, and you're living under God's, you know, authority, and you're, you know, what does that look like for you? And has that been a struggle or
well,
a
I mean, listen,
process?
one of my faults was that because I was a personality that wasn't
listening
charismatic.
Really closely right now. And when you said one of my faults, okay.
Was that I would allow her to take the lead in a lot of things mm-hmm. in our life because I'm naturally the person that just is the behind the scenes kind of person. And she's always been the one who wants to sing on stage and she wants to be, you know, and that's her personality. So when, what? Don't argue with me about that. that's been a spiritual struggle for me through our marriage. And it has been, like I said earlier, something that, especially in the last 3, 4, 5 years have had to come to the forefront where I have had to say, you know, we will pray about these certain things. We will make these decisions together, but that we, you know, I mean, I think right now we have a pretty traditional marriage where I hate to say, I mean, I know God says that I am the leader of the house, spiritually speaking. And I think I take that role. And I think that, you know, we do the devotions with our children and we are making, you know, we are in church, we are involved in ministry. You know, one of the ways that I, if you want to say that I lead, is that when my wife says, we need to bring this little kid home because this person has a issue at home. Can they stay to our house this weekend? Sure. You know, I'm just saying, you know what? Listen, that's our heart. And I don't have a problem saying that may not be my area that I'm comfortable with having all these people here. But you know what? I'm laying myself down because this is what God wants us to do through our family, through our life. So
it's recognizing each other's gifts is mm-hmm. really what it is. And if your gift is the gift of compassion and love, and it comes more naturally for you or for me, you know, in this case, then it's him saying, I love you so much that I love the fact that God made you like that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm willing to support that, even though it's not my natural bend to have 72 kids here this weekend. Mm-hmm. But there's some times where he says, you know what, this weekend, it's not going to be 72 kids. And I say, you know what, babe, because I see your heart, because you let me see your heart, because you're willing to recognize my gifts, I'm cool with not having 72 kids here this weekend, because I want to respect you as my husband more than just, you know, than exercise my gift this weekend. So it really becomes that process. And that is not something you learn the first 5 minutes of marriage.
No.
And that's why so many marriages fall apart. That's why the divorce rate is what it is, because people aren't willing to forgive. They're not willing to recognize each other's gifts because instead they'd rather change them and make them more like them. And men end up feeling not respected. Women end up feeling like they don't, you know, they're not being loved well. And then it's an I said, she said, he said, she said thing instead of a I see your heart. You know, we don't show our hearts to each other. Mm-hmm. And that realness is missing even in Christian relationships mm-hmm. as well. And that's one of our prayers as a couple, is to be in ministry and to, you know, write a book for other couples on just the realness of marriage and that forgiveness is something you have to do every day. Mm-hmm. That there's a lot of value to staying the course. There's a lot.
Well, and it's still a battle. I don't want to give this impression that we've got it figured out. Mm-hmm. You know, we're real people. I have my own business. She has her own business. We have 4 children. All the neighborhood kids are at our house all the time. Mm-hmm. We have a crazy life. We say all the time when people come into our home, you know, this is a reality show.
It's a reality show.
And most people have no clue of the amount of time and energy are spent you know, apart from each other. And you know, she's going 100 miles an hour her way, I'm going 100 miles an hour our way. And somehow we have to figure out how do we merge that into one unity going the same way. So there are times where we have clashes still, of course, you know, because I may see things one way and she's seeing things one way. And you know what? there is no right and wrong sometimes. Sometimes the way she sees things, the way I see things, are not I'm right and she's wrong or she's right and I'm wrong, but there needs to be a prayerful consideration of what does God want and where do we lead. And at some point, it's just somebody just has to make a decision, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And so we're you know, part of the journey. We're still figuring it out.
I think relationships are all about keeping those walls down. Mm-hmm. I think that when people get hurt, we all put up a wall and to protect ourselves. It's just natural. Mm-hmm. And in marriage, in relationship, you have to be willing to break down walls and to keep them down so that you keep that vulnerability and that heart exposed. And when you asked Keith the question, how do you deal sometimes with her having such a, you know, the kind of personality that is the mayor and whatever, I think that over the past, especially year of our life, what I've seen in my husband as far as the growth goes is that I have tried to keep those walls or tear them down even more myself this year and say, do you understand that I couldn't do what I do if it wasn't for you? Hmm. Like, you give me the strength to be able to be confident, to be able to spend 45 minutes talking to that person. Mm-hmm. You are the one that I get to come running home to and cry my eyes out, you know, when I read that email or hear that story. You're the one that inspires me to want to write a better book, you know, for our grandchildren to read one day about the love of God. Mm-hmm. And so knowing that that support comes from him and reminding him that that support comes from him, I believe is what allows him to have the freedom to let me be who I am. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need to change me because he knows that he gets to help make me who I am.
Right. Right. And that's something that obviously, as he said, he saw in you from the very beginning. That kind of stuff is stuff that God gives us and puts in our spirit, that love for people, that compassion, those spiritual gifts, all of that. And obviously, you know, throughout the journey, other things may change and shift and all that pans out. And certainly we grow by God's grace. But I think that recognizing that on the front end is such a healthy thing. Okay, well, folks, we have been talking to Keith and Chantel Hobbs. Make sure you go to chantelhobbs.com. That's C-H-A-N-T-E-L, Hobbs, as in Calvin and Hobbs. Is that? No,
no, because
they had an
no E.
H-O-B-B-S. No E. See, I don't even know my comics. Oh, my goodness. Just H-O-B-B-S, hello.com. And the book is The One Day Way. Thanks, you guys, so much.
Thanks for having us.
Everyone, we're going to open up this week's inbox, and this time around, I'm joined in the studio by Mott. Mott, welcome.
Hi, Lisa. It's good to be here.
Good to have you, and we haven't seen you for an inbox in a little while. We usually have Candace chit-chatting with me.
That's because Candace gives great advice, and mine's mediocre.
No, yours is very good, especially with the guys, and today we have a guy writing in, mm-hmm. so we're going to have you help him out. His name is Jeff, and he says, a female friend of mine has been dating her boyfriend for over 3 years and says she's been ready to marry him since just after their 1 year anniversary. He's a great guy that shares her love for a particular ministry we're all involved in, but is relatively immature in the faith for his 3 years of salvation, mm-hmm. with some serious emotional baggage, and he's not making serious efforts to grow spiritually. I think my friend is counting on me being a good influence on him and discipling him as best I can. I do not feel qualified for this role. I'm 25 and he's 7 or so years older than I am, so being a mentor to him just feels funny. Obviously, I'd love to see him come alive and let the Holy Spirit bring him alive. I just don't know how to think about that in the context of their relationship. Someone needs to give him the Fisher Cup bait talk, and she says her dad isn't that kind of guy. What if there's nobody else to do it? I'm open to any advice.
Wow. Yeah, I'd love to see the Holy Spirit convict him to stop defrauding this girl. Where to begin here? I think I want to start with the girl, his friend, who is a girl. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what happens when you enter into a relationship. It seems like without the benefit of the community, it seems like they're doing it on their own. Because if she had the benefit of people, Christian mentors or parents or someone in her church speaking into her life. I think this may not have gone on this long. She could have gone to them for advice a long time ago, and they may have told her to do a DTR like around the 8-month mark. 3.5 years, you know, it's never too late. I think that she needs to have that talk. And Candace talks about this a lot, about asking for clarity in the relationship, and even to the point of breaking up with him if he doesn't give that clarity. So I think this guy and his girlfriend can come alongside her even now, 3.5 years later, to encourage her to do that. Specifically about the guy's obligation, I think he has a general obligation to protect his sister in Christ, and really to be concerned about the guy she's dating, Scott, in his spiritual maturity. But what that looks like in a circumstance like this, I mean, it could be anything. He could try to get to know this guy better. He really doesn't say how well he knows him. And just pray for opportunities to speak to him about their relationship. But I think, you know, if they want to get together and sort of scheme about this, they're in ministry. It seems like they're in a church. They really should get some older people involved here and to speak truth into this girl's life and to end this guy's life. I think that's the route that they should take.
Yeah. I think it's cool, I mean, that this guy is saying, you know, or this guy's even in a position to obviously be someone who this girl is coming to. I know she says here at the end of her question that her dad isn't really that kind mm-hmm. of guy who maybe would step in on her behalf. So this guy seems to be, but obviously he seems pretty uncomfortable being a lot younger than this other guy, mm-hmm. and maybe he doesn't know him too well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would say, I mean, there's a certain amount of responsibility that's hers for having put up with this yeah. that long. And so that's concerning. And, you know, there's an element of her having to do what Candace did and kind of put things on the table and walk away until there's more clarity. But yeah, I agree with you that really I would even tell Jeff to find some other people within their acquaintance who maybe are more qualified and more authoritative in being able to talk to this guy.
Yeah, you know, I want to touch on one thing that he said. He's already observed in Scott that he's spiritually immature, that he's not growing in a faith. You know, if that's the truth, he should go to his friend and say, look, I don't see any fruit in this guy. I think you should be very cautious in moving forward with him. I mean, do you even want to? And so he could at least give her advice on what he sees in Scott, and it doesn't seem to be good at all, actually.
Yeah. Well, and if she has invested now 3 years, maybe there's a guy in Scott's acquaintance who can go to him, especially an older man, and just say, look, here are some things that I'm seeing. One, yeah. you're just still dragging along in this relationship, and that's not okay. And quite frankly, I'm going to tell her to just ditch it until you come up with something. And two, just apart from her, I don't see you really moving in a direction that is good as far as spiritual growth and mm-hmm. as far as one that's going to be indicative of leadership in your home where you too make it to marriage with this girl. So, okay. So maybe Jeff can find some other guys, first of all, who can kind of be, so he's not having to be a lone ranger in this.
That's right. I mean, don't you talk about this all the time, Lisa, that the leaders in the church need to be involved in the dating lives of their
mm-hmm. yeah.
congregants?
Yeah. And if they're not, you know, not all the time the leaders of the church can route out these guys, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. the guys need to step up and go to them and just say, hey, you know, I need you to know I'm here and I need you to know that I probably need some input. So maybe we should start getting together, you know, regularly or something. So definitely responsibility both ways. So, all right, Mott. Well, thanks for weighing in.
Oh, thanks, Lisa.
That's good. Okay, folks, write to us at editor@boundless.org with your questions so we can address them in a future edition of the Inbox. And, you know, make sure that you're just giving us feedback. Also, those of you that we've helped in the past, do let us know how those things are going. Like if you've taken our advice, if you have applied it and kind of where you are now in the midst of that. We always want to hear any updates that you may have. So make sure you do it. We have more great shows coming up for you in the coming weeks. So make sure to tune in and pass them on to your friends. Until then, I'm Lisa Anderson for The Boundless Show.
The Boundless Show is a production of Boundless.org. Focus on the family. Boundless.